One more week in the book of Daniel. We're going to kind of revisit some of the things that we have previously looked at in weeks past and kind of bring Daniel all together as VBS week is all about Daniel and his stories and the journey, the wild journey that he took to be faithful towards God during a time and during a life that was difficult and that was trying for him. So we're going to be doing an overview, kind of 300,000-foot view of the entire book of Daniel. When it comes towards not just the book of Daniel, but Scripture as a whole, a few weeks ago I kind of gave some words as far as the direction and the heart and the attitude that we at times have about Scripture. Sometimes there's this obligation that we have towards the Word of God where we know we should be in it more. We know that we should be spending time in it, that we should be studying it, that we should be. So you feel this obligation, this weight upon your shoulders. And that is an okay thing. There's absolutely nothing wrong with a little bit of obligation kind of driving and influencing your, okay, I need to be in the Word. Because God has done more with less. Sometimes with obligation, we don't feel like God can do anything with our obligation. Not true. God has done more in the world and in history with less. So if you feel the weight of obligation, don't brush it off as if it doesn't matter. It matters. Don't ignore it. Let it be there. Don't let it drive you to depression or anxiety or feeling sad or bad. Let it drive you towards actually doing something. The next one is information. And which I've heard from some of you throughout this 10-week journey through the book of Daniel, that you know what, there's a lot of information in Daniel that I had absolutely positively no clue about. I read chapter 1, I skipped chapter 2 because it had to do with dreams and visions. I then went to 3 because that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I skipped 4 because it was weird. 5, the whole writing on the wall thing, I don't know, it was weird. I liked 6 because it had to do with Daniel and Lion's Den. And then I was done with the rest of the book because it got weird really quick. But there's a ton of information in Daniel that you're like, I never knew existed. That's really cool stuff. And that's a good approach and attitude to have about the Word of God. Especially for decades, there were too many sermons and too many talking voices about not spending time in the Word. And we've become negligent towards the Word. And as a culture, and with all the love in the world, even as a church, we are extremely ignorant about the Word of God. And that's because we've neglected it. We've ignored the obligation that we have felt to be in it. We didn't think information mattered, when in fact it really does, because we don't know anything about the Word. So obligation matters. Studying it for information, it matters. Studying it for inspiration matters as well. As far as wanting to be encouraged, or wanting to be built up, or wanting to be strengthened, or wanting a story like the book of Daniel to help us understand and see the times that we're living in and how we should respond. And there's a fourth one that I've added to this list just over the last few weeks, specifically about Daniel's story, and that's formation. Obligation, information, inspiration, and formation. There is a lot of good stuff within this book that forms us if we are willing to have our minds and our hearts, our imaginations open to be formed by the Word of God. Formation can take place. The question always is, are you willing for it to form you? Or do you choose to be formed by other things? Because we're all being formed by something. The question is, what are you being formed by? And then as we looked at the latter half of Daniel's story, the book of Daniel, Revelation. This idea of having the thin space, the thin curtain between earth and heaven peeled back and torn away. And an apocalypse takes place where things are revealed that are scary, but that are beautiful and that are powerful and that can be life-altering and life-changing. So we have gone through this journey, this in-depth journey through the book of Daniel. Last week, being Father's Day, we spent a lot of time in Ephesians 5 and Ephesians 6 about what it means and what it may mean for us today to being a man of God that stands for what is right and what is true and what is good. And something that I was reminded of is when it comes to being men in this day and age, we need better stories to listen to adapt to pay attention to, because there are a lot of voices that are at play within our climate that are telling us different stories. So we need to be active in paying attention to better stories. And Daniel is one of those stories. The big picture theme, or a big picture theme that we've looked at each and every single week when it comes to the book of Daniel, is living for God in a foreign, potentially hostile culture requires discernment, requires wisdom, and it requires courage. Finding the right way to do the right thing. The book of Daniel gives us discernment, wisdom, and if we'll let the stories, courage to find the right way to do the right thing. I heard this quote this week, and it just fit right in with Daniel's the entire trajectory of his life in exile. His faith is built on the other side of "I don't feel like it." If you let that line sink in for just a minute, I think you'll see the nuggets of wisdom and truth in it. Faith is built on the other side of "I just don't feel like it." Which again goes back to obligation, which goes to information and inspiration that drives formation that can bring about revelation for your life. For Daniel, it was never a matter of if a crisis was going to happen. Because story after story, something is building. A crisis is on its way. So for Daniel, it was never a matter of if a crisis was going to happen, but what and how Daniel chose to respond to the crisis. Even when the crisis was self-inflicted, as is how Daniel's story begins in chapter 1, when the Jews were sent into exile. Self-inflicted punishment that came about from God saying, "The time is coming. I've given you prophet after prophet, warning after warning, and now the time has come." So the crisis came upon Daniel and upon the Jews who were exiled. But even more so when the crisis came about because of decisions of others. The way of exile for Daniel and the three who are... Oh, there's a couple. We spent 10 weeks in Daniel. All right. Oh, with one voice, we can pray the Lord's Prayer. We can get the three right. There we go. So Daniel and the three. I can sit back up now. A little bit more. Right. The way of exile for Daniel and the three offered two options. And the same options are for us today. We can just give up and compromise. We can just say, "I'm tired of fighting it. The culture's going to win. So why butt up against it? I'm just going to give up and I'm just going to compromise. Doesn't matter what the Word of God says about whatever it is. I'm just going to give up and I'm going to compromise." That was an option for Daniel and the three being in exile. They could have chosen that. They also could have chosen blow up and counterattack. "We're just going to, guns a-blazing, we're just going to go and take on Babylon. We're going to go and take on Persia. We're going to take on whatever empire it was that came in time after time, wave after wave, within the entire story of Daniel, just blow it up and we're just going to counterattack." That wouldn't have worked as well. Instead, in story after story, in episode after episode, Daniel or the three, doesn't matter which one the story was focused on, the SportsCenter highlight reels that we get from the book of Daniel, they chose this hope-filled faithfulness that drove every decision that they made. This hope-filled, hope-ignited faithfulness. Daniel and the three laid the groundwork that was inspired by Jeremiah chapter 29. And if it's been a minute since you've read Jeremiah 29, I encourage you to go back and sit. Have the obligation of your preacher saying, go read Jeremiah 29. Go with the attitude of, I need some information. And maybe, just maybe, you will be inspired, informed, and receive revelation by spending a little bit of time in Jeremiah 29 and letting that story sink into you about understanding the times that we live in and how we are to respond. Daniel and the three lived out of Jeremiah 29. They chose to live out of a heart and a mindset centered on hope. The hope of God and the hope from God. That even though they are in exile, they are not alone in exile. And God has good plans for them, even while in exile. They had an option to choose a hope-ignited faithfulness that God blessed them, even in the midst of difficult circumstances that they did not ask for. They knew that they were not where they used to be. They knew they were no longer home anymore. They knew that this place didn't feel like home, didn't look like home, didn't sense like home. They knew they were not where they used to be. They had been told that they were no longer who they used to be. They were all given new names, according to Daniel chapter 1. And they knew that they were not where they wanted to be. All the stories in Daniel offer a picture for the church to pay attention to, draw wisdom and direction from when the crises of life come about. Personally, socially, politically, it doesn't matter what the crisis is. The book of Daniel offers discernment, wisdom, courage, and hope if we are willing to pay attention. For Daniel and the three, when the multiple crises came about, it did not create their disciplined lifestyle. It revealed it. Which is a truth statement for us. When the crises of life hit us, oftentimes they reveal what we've tried to cover up for such a long time. But when they hit, they're really revealed and we are really exposed. But when times got hard for Daniel and the three, it did not create their disciplined lifestyle. It revealed it. New home, new names that honored Babylonian deities, new reality that had to sink in fast, revealed all that they had been in preparation for with spiritual disciplines that came in handy when the crises came around. So for Daniel chapter 1, all four of them, simple, common, it's just food. Daniel, it's just food. That would have been the compromise to just give in. It's just food. It doesn't really matter. But common obedience from Daniel, that Daniel encouraged the three, led to a radical transformation that God used and that God blessed Daniel and the three. So by the end of chapter 1, we see God doing some pretty amazing things for Daniel and the three. And it all came about a common obedience. It's just food. But for Daniel and the three, it was more than it's just. It was more than just, I'm going to compromise. No, no compromise. There is no it's just. You throw that out the window. They resolved to be faithful over and over and over again. There was this determination to not give in nor give up. They chose to stand for that which was right and hard instead of shrinking into that which was easy and comfortable. No compromise. For Daniel chapter 3, which Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, anybody want to impress me with their Hebrew names? Nobody? All right. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. You got the? All right. There will be a test at the end of EBS. Thursday at about 7:55, there will be a test. For Daniel and the three, for the three in Daniel chapter 3, facing execution for not bowing down to Nebuchadnezzar's statue, 3 points that we took away about cultivating a faith that does something. It's more than just head knowledge. It's information that inspires information that leads to a formation of life. And the three takeaway points for them cultivating, for them digging into the soil of their heart and of their life, is they cultivated a faith that was willing to stand out. They were willing to be noticed for their stand-outness in the midst of a compromising culture that was just going with the flow, because it was easy to go with the flow. For Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. No. We have cultivated a faith that is willing to stand out. They cultivated a faith that was willing to stand up when everybody else was bowing down. And they cultivated a faith that was willing to stand in the fires, to stand in the midst of the testing and pressure. And the ultimate question that we asked and that we answered was, where in the world did we find the courage to cultivate a faith that can stand out, stand up, and stand in the fires of pressure and testing? And the answer is, our courage is found in the one who stands with us in the fires all the time. Always with us. There is the hope-ignited faithfulness that drove Daniel, that drove Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to make these difficult physical decisions that was going to cost them their lives. And they stood time after time after time and said, "You know what? Faithfulness to God is worth it. Faithfulness to God is worth it." We are not always rescued from the fires of life. That's another thing that Daniel teaches us. We are not always rescued from. Sometimes we're not even rescued in the fires that we're going through. Sometimes we are rescued by going through the fires. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel is now in his 70s at this particular time in his journey. And one question that must be asked when Daniel reaches this point is, anybody would have been okay if Daniel said, "You know what, I've done this for decades. I'm gonna retire, and I'm just gonna just let this plane land. I'm gonna ride off into the sunset, and I'm gonna be just fine." But can your character sustain you once you get to a certain point? And time after time, an episode that we have in the book, and episodes that we don't have in the story, Daniel's character was being formed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their character was being formed over and over and over again, episode after episode. And a question to ask is, can your character sustain you once you get to a certain point? Daniel is in his 70s. He has been through the ringer for decade after decade after decade, king after king after king that he did not like, that he did not want to be ruled over. Can your character sustain you once you get to a certain point? And Daniel had to ask and answer that question. Daniel was facing execution, for not obeying Darius's mandate simply concerning prayer. Daniel's conduct, Daniel's integrity, his character could not be questioned when you go back and you look at the story. So his accusers went after his faith instead. Couldn't question his integrity, his work ethic, his yes being yes and his no being no. They couldn't question his integrity. They couldn't question what was on the bill when the bill came in, and they're like, "What's this charge for?" None of that could be questioned for Daniel. His integrity was rock solid. So his accusers went after his faith. Daniel learned, which is an important thing to think about within the arc, within the trajectory of Daniel's story. Daniel learned his faith and his commitment had been cultivated. The soil of his heart and his life had been broken up, tilled up, thrown out all the stuff that needs to get out of the way. His faith and his commitment had been cultivated to stand strong in the face of vocational pressure. And some of you face vocational pressure every single day you go into your office. You have a better story to live out from. May Daniel's story encourage you to stand up for what is right, even in the midst of vocational pressure where your boss or other colleagues are telling you to stand down, to give in, to compromise. There is a better story to live by. Daniel had cultivated a faith and a commitment to stand strong in the face of social pressure. All of us face some type of social pressure in this day and age that we live in. Not unless you just stay at home every day, all day. All of us face social pressure. What are we doing in the midst of that social pressure? How can we stand up in the midst of social pressure without looking like a bully, without, as we talked about in class this morning, without going against people seeing the goodness of what our faith is really all about? The book of Daniel provides wisdom and discernment and courage for such a stand. Powerful statements that we're going to read here in just a few moments. Daniel learned his faith and commitment had been cultivated to stand strong in the face of physical pressure. The three were going into the fiery furnace. Daniel is facing execution through the lion's den. Physical pressure. Daniel learned to stand strong. And the question is, who kept feeding, kept inspiring Daniel to remain faithful through all the pressures? And one of the answers comes from Daniel chapter 9. Daniel prioritized the presence of God. When you look at Daniel 9 and when you look at Daniel chapter 6, we see Daniel prioritizing the presence of God over and over and over again. Daniel prioritized the scriptures. Daniel prioritized spiritual disciplines so that when the crises of life happened, he had something strong with which to stand on. And the spiritual disciplines that he had been practicing, that the three had been practicing for so long, they revealed themselves and they were able to stand in the midst of such difficult pressure and testing. From one king after another, from Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar to Darius, the Mede to Cyrus, the king of Persia, and all the kings that aren't mentioned within the book of Daniel, but that are a part of the historical progress of that part of the world. Rulers and authorities, there is so much for us to glean from the wisdom of Daniel. So very quickly, there are some passages that I would like to read as we kind of close the book on our sermon series on Daniel to take away from, so that when you go back to Daniel, you'll be able to just continue to glean from the wisdom of it. The first one is Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, beginning in verse 20. Such powerful language here. Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. He changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises up others. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with Him." Think of what would happen in your mind and in your heart if you just sat in those words for a few minutes every single day. Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are His. God, I am in need of wisdom. Daniel 2 says that He gives wisdom to those who are wise. And those who are wise are those who are asking for wisdom. He gives knowledge to the discerning. God, I need to discern well. The promise here is God will gift you knowledge and wisdom. He changes seasons and times. He disposes of kings and He raises up others. There's powerful language in here. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Daniel resolved. For all of us in this room, there is an area in our life where we must make a resolvement decision. I am going to resolve not to give in, not to give up, not to continue. I am going to resolve to stop. Whatever it is. It may be an habitual sin that has been plaguing you for decades. It may be gossip that fuels your need to belong and be a part and be in the know. And you're like, I gotta know more, I gotta know more, I gotta know more. But then you're like, enough is enough. I'm killing myself and killing relationships. I am going to resolve to put my ears and close my ears to stuff I don't need to know about. I'm going to resolve that this movie, this show, this music, whatever this is, I am going to resolve to put it away and be done with it for good. No more. Done with it. Daniel resolved to make a decision for what he knew to be right, true, and good. Daniel chapter 1, verse 17. To these four young men, God gave, God gifted knowledge and understanding, all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. God will gift us, if we ask, for wisdom and discernment to be able to understand the times and know how we should respond. Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 and 18. In the midst of this, when you hear the music and when you hear instruments, and by the way, we do have a zither in the house. We have somebody who knows how to play a zither. Robin Mutchie knows how to play a zither. I've heard her play it, and she's good. She's got some skills on that zither. We're all going to hopefully experience it one of these days. When you hear the sound of the horn and the flute and the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand? So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him. Again, this language. The boldness here, the courage here. Man, if we just had an ounce of that, the difference we would make in our world today. King Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If the God we serve is able to deliver us, He will deliver us from the blazing furnace and from your majesty's hand. But even if He does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. Just an ounce of that in our blood. The stands we would take for good in our culture. The difference that we could possibly make within the setting and within the atmosphere within our culture. And maybe the opposite could happen. Maybe all of us are going to end up in lion's dens, in blazing furnaces. But if we do, we will not be alone. When we make the stand for what is right, true, and good, it doesn't mean that God's going to rescue us from the fires and the testings. That is a true statement out of Daniel's story. But when we stand for what is right, when we stand for what is true, when we stand for what is good, we never, ever stand alone. That is a true story from Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. When Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem, because his posture and his position was always towards the presence of God. Three times a day he got down on his knees and he prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. Daniel prioritized the presence of God. Daniel chapter 9, verses 2 and 3. In the first year of Darius's reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures. He understood from the scriptures because he prioritized the scriptures. According to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, probably chapter 29, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord and pleaded with him in prayer and petition and fasting and in sackcloth and ashes. Not only did Daniel prioritize the scriptures, he prioritized spiritual disciplines that kept on putting him in a posture and in a place to prioritize the presence of God. Daniel chapter 10, verse 12. Daniel says, the angel told Daniel, "Do not be afraid. Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard and I have come in response to them." Again, this apocalyptic moment takes place. This revelation takes place where Daniel sees that his prayers are more than just empty words. That his words, his prayers towards God mean something and they matter and they're doing something. Daniel's posture and his position to humble himself before the Lord was doing something that was beyond his imagination. And he got just a glimpse of it, just a glimpse of it. Daniel chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 that we looked at a few weeks ago. All about resurrection. Jesus believed this very much so, as being the first fruits of one who was raised from the dead to never die again. And the New Testament authors, Paul, gripped onto this as he knew there was a time coming when all the dead are going to rise. And they're going to face eternal damnation, or they're going to face eternal salvation. One or the others. But everyone is going to rise. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. This beautiful direction of where all history is going towards, fulfilled completely in Jesus and awaiting his return when all the dead will rise. Stand with me, church. Praise team, y'all can join me. The final verse that we're going to look at this morning, that is our main VBS verse, comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 15. It's not only our VBS verse, but it's also our June memory verse. We've got it on the acronym here. I think it starts up here at the top and then works its way down. "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do." Daniel took seriously, centuries before these words came from Peter, Daniel took this seriously. And he lived it out to its complete fulfillment. And the invitation for us, each and every single day, that we are gifted here on this earth, is how are we going to respond to this call? Just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all that you do. May these words be more than just obligation. But if you need them to be obligation, let them sink down on your shoulders, and eventually they may get to your heart. If you need this as information, you're like, you know what? I really want to memorize this verse. I think this is a good verse to memorize. You are exactly right. Let that obligation sink down into information. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Inspiring words here. May you allow them to form you so that your eyes are open to revelation, to ways in which you can be holy in every area of your life. Because he who called you is holy. So be holy in all that you do. Amen, church.
Amen.
Let's worship together.